Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We are going to take this country back.
If every American is not on board with that, you have to ask yourself why.
The coverage of this has been almost as dishonest as the scheme itself.
But you never sent us any evidence.
They're not entitled to see the evidence.
These are the same people who told us the Steele dossier was accurate.
I think today is the day the music died.
Joe Biden expressing his opinion there at the end. It's Friday.
It is
Are
Friday.
We got a lot going on, but we're happy to be at the end of this week, aren't we? Can we all agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to be at the end of this year. There's a lot of ends that we're reaching here.
When are you not happy to get to the end of a week?
Well, maybe.
This one actually went by pretty fast. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, maybe it was just enough
just
to
so
cover
much going on. I know.
The weather was decent.
Right. Still don't know the solution here to some of these COVID restrictions that are going on, but more and more counties, since we last talked yesterday morning, have put in face mask restrictions. Edwardsville's talking about a fine now. Franklin County, at effective at midnight last night, put in the face mask restrictions. So we're going to keep talking about this today. There's a group of restaurant owners in St. Louis County are putting out a personal plea to Sam Page so that maybe he will start to realize what his arbitrary ruling on restaurants is doing to their livelihood. And I want you to hear some of that here in just a minute. Before I get to that, I want to point out that this news conference yesterday is spurring a lot of phone calls. You probably heard Al there at the top of the hour. Of course, Al thinks it's all hogwash and they can't prove it in court. And that we just need to get over it and accept Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. Yeah. You know, Al Gore got 37 days for one state. We've got at least three or four states here where there are questions that need to be answered. Laura Ingraham reported last night that the state of Michigan, the state board of canvassers, may vote to delay certification because of the issues that have been brought up specifically in Detroit. Because down there, you know, a couple of those board of canvass members are trying to rescind their vote. And one reason is that before the meeting was over that day, Monica Palmer, who's one of those canvassers, was already being attacked by some left-wing activist there in Detroit because she pointed out that 70% of their precincts reported problems that had not been resolved where the number of voters didn't match the number of people who signed in to vote. Why? How could you certify any election knowing that? Here's what Monica Palmer told Laura Ingraham last night.
It's continued. He's used his social media platform to repeatedly dox me, post my phone number, my home address, my email address, and encourage people to stop by my house and share their anger with me.
So this is an example of this is another reason why these questions have got to be answered before any final conclusion is drawn here. And my suspicion is it's going to be decided in a courtroom. A courtroom will ultimately decide the evidence that's going on. We're going to talk more about the news conference yesterday, some more news coming out of what may happen under a potential Joe Biden administration. Like, did you know they're already talking about reopening an investigation into Brett Kavanaugh? This
really?
They want unity, but there is already talk that they may try to open an investigation because of new evidence against Brett Kavanaugh. They're going to try to take a member off the United States Supreme Court, potentially.
I genuinely thought that ship had sailed,
No, it hasn't. The captain is still aboard driving that ship, apparently.
Right.
Well, we'll talk more about that coming up. In the meantime, what in the world could the governor or, importantly, the state legislature do to influence Sam Page and what he's doing to St. Louis County? I've asked Missouri Senator Bill Eigel to join me this morning, member of the conservative caucus down in Jeff City. And Bill, welcome back into the show.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, and congratulations on your reelection.
Thank you. It was a good night here in Missouri. We're still waiting for the rest of the country, but no, thank you very much.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the COVID restrictions out there in St. Charles County? Somebody told me the other day that the county executive is considering maybe a mask mandate. How do you feel about that?
Well, there was a study that came out yesterday from a European firm that showed that there wasn't very much difference in infection rates between folks that wore masks in public and folks that did not. So, I think that there are folks out there that it makes sense if they want to make a personal decision to wear masks. But I think that it's the wrong idea that we should have any government agency or authority telling people what to do on a minute-to-minute basis. So we've been good so far out here in St. Charles County. I think that our county executive, Steve Ellman, knows how the county feels about these type of liberty-based issues. And so he's done a good job resisting those calls. We'll see how that goes forward. I'm optimistic that he's going to continue to resist those calls. But if he doesn't, there's probably going to be political consequences for that. So
yeah.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Interesting. Speaking of political consequences, people are really coming down hard on our governor right now, Governor Parson, who held another news conference yesterday and has resisted these calls, as some governors have, to impose some sort of statewide mask mandate. I'm assuming you support him in that.
Yes, absolutely. And, we're going to continue to see Republican governors that are standing up for Republican ideals of liberty and personal responsibility be attacked by the media. And that's what you're seeing with Governor Parson right now. Governor Parson was very clear on his position when it comes to mandates and closures. The people of Missouri agreed with the governor because they elected him to 4 more years in office in a landslide election just a couple of weeks ago. And now he's keeping his word. So I think that I would expect two things to continue to happen. One, Governor Parson is going to continue to do what he said he was going to do because that's the right thing to do. That's in line with what he said he was going to do. And he actually cares about personal liberty. But two, he's going to continue to be attacked for precisely those beliefs by a very aggressive and unfair media that wants to portray him in a different light.
We're talking to Senator Bill Eigel from District 23 out in St. Charles County. Bill, I want to play for you a little clip that's been put together by some local restaurant owners with a message to our county executive here, Sam Page.
Dr. Page, I want to talk to you.
So that we can find solutions together.
Sit down and see all the things that we're doing to keep people safe.
Think of all the people who are going to be negatively affected by this.
We need to work together to be able to control the spread of coronavirus and at the same time keeping our businesses supported and our employees taken care of.
Yeah, they want to talk to Paige. Paige doesn't want to talk to them. And we have a situation where I've already seen one business that I know of, Naked Vine, which is a bar out in Chesterfield, has announced they're closing because they can't survive another round of these businesses being shut down. So my question to you is, I've asked the governor before, I know you have the power to step in, why don't you? And he, at the time, this was pre-election, said he didn't feel like it was the time for him to be imposing his will on local authorities like that. Do you agree with him on that, or do you think there's some action that should be taken on a statewide basis to try to limit Dr. Page's authority here in St. Louis County?
Yeah, I think that there is absolutely a role for the state to push back against any tyranny going on. And a lot of times the state has to push back against the federal government overreach, but it's a role of state government to also push back against local areas that have begun what we consider appropriate. You know, my heart goes out to these business owners. They are doing everything they can to survive. And instead of having a government that creates an environment that supports their effort while trying to keep their customers safe, we have a local dictator in the form of Sam Page. And that's what he is. He's acting as a tyrant and a dictator at a local level. And he doesn't understand the very meaning of our right to peacefully assemble and run our businesses. And when that has gotten to that point, there's absolutely a role for the state to step in and do something. Let me tell you what I think that's going to look like. In the next, whether it happens in this special session over the next couple of weeks, or it happens at the very beginning of the regular session after the new year, we're going to be, myself, Senator Andrew Koenig, who also just won re-election a few weeks ago, are going to be introducing legislation that's going to restrict the power of local entities to close businesses, to not only close businesses, but to put restrictions on gatherings in someone's home, whether it's for a holidays or anything else. And we're going to make sure, we're going to take it out of their hands, the ability to run wild with restrictions that's causing an incredibly damaging effect for our communities, for our businesses. I support the restaurants in St. Louis County, but I also support any other business in St. Louis County that is suffering as a result of these kind of economic restrictions that are both unconstitutional and they will be addressed and pushed back against by the state come our next available opportunity.
Yeah, I had a great conversation with Jim Lemke yesterday, and we were talking about a couple of these issues. And you know, one is this belief that there's some autonomy locally when all of the power that rests in county government here or city government all stems from the state, and that does give you the authority to step in and limit those kinds of things. Now, what would that look like? I mean, have you seen a version of what you're talking about? Would it restrict their ability to institute emergency authorizations? How would that work?
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, I had a really good conversation with Senator Koenig last night. What it would look like, it would specifically limit local areas' ability to put in place any restrictions for a period of time for more than 30 days in any six-month period.
Okay.
So, you know, we would still offer them minor authority. And, you know, there are situations where someone has to step in at the local level. If you have an outbreak of salmonella poisoning, if you have an outbreak of what have you. So we authorize that and allow for that. But when you're talking about shutting things down indefinitely for 30 or 60 days, you're not talking about an emergency situation anymore. You're talking about public policy. And if the public policy is going to be that these local areas are going to step in, strangle their own business communities, and forget about our fundamental rights, whether it's our right to free speech, whether it's our right to peacefully assemble, well, we're going to put on that. So I think that we're going to see the actual language come out in the next week or so. And whether we're putting together a letter that several of us are going to sign that'll encourage the governor to expand the special session call so that we can address this sooner rather than later. If that's not successful, you can bet that we're going to be talking about this and working on this right as the new session begins in the new year.
Well, good. Yeah, I'm glad you explained that. I wondered what the trigger would be for you to be able to do this in this session. You need the governor to expand the special session agenda?
That's correct.
Okay.
So if the governor is willing to expand the agenda, which I hope that he is, and he's going to get some feedback from us that he ought to do that, we'll address this right now. I expect that the special session will probably pick back up in a couple weeks. If that can't happen, though, it'll be just a couple weeks past the Christmas holiday. where we're going to take this up in the regular session. Either way, Sam Page's actions have triggered a desire within the state legislature to push back on the tyranny of local government that he's got going on down there. If you are a business owner in St. Louis County right now that is suffering from those kind of restrictions, my message to them is that help is on the way.
Good. Thank you for that, by the way. And maybe since we're talking about a couple of weeks before this is going to happen anyway, maybe it's the time now for citizens and for these business owners to reach out and just maybe send a message to Governor Parson's office and let him know how you that you would support expanding that language into this special session so this could be considered.
Absolutely. I think that'd be a great tactic to let Governor Parson know just how important that is. And anything that we can do, I know there's also a lawsuit that's being brought forth by the restaurants against Sam Page. I support that lawsuit. I think they're in the right on this, and they're using every opportunity that they have to fight for their livelihoods. And that's what this is. This isn't about just making money. These are these folks' livelihoods. This is their lives. I watched an interview with some of these restaurants last night where they were talking about the years of effort and sweat that they have put into these businesses that have helped raise their families, that have become part of their communities. And Sam Page is arbitrarily walking away from them so that he can go on this local power trip that violates multiple constitutional clauses.
Yep. Senator Bill Igel, my guest this morning. In the next hour, by the way, Representative Mary Elizabeth Coleman's going to join us, not as a state representative, but in her role as an attorney. She's one of the attorneys helping these restaurants sue St. Louis County. So she's going to explain more directly what they think the county has violated here in terms of its power. So I can't wait to get her on here to talk about that. Bill, looking forward to the next legislative session. I had Bob Onder on the other day. I know you guys are all in the conservative caucus together. He and I talked about what needs to be done to limit these initiative petitions. Cleaner Missouri was another great, you know, I'm glad we were able to get that through the legislature and correct that big mistake that happened a couple years ago. But moving forward, what can we do? Are you guys planning on working on trying to raise the threshold to amend the Missouri Constitution?
Yes, that is a discussion point. And Mark, you and I have had this conversation in the past because we know that in order to change the federal constitution, the level that you have to rise to in terms of support and procedure is much greater than the level of support that you have to have in the state of Missouri. So we have very low standards. So I think we're going to look at legislation that will do a couple things. One, it'll require, instead of just collecting signatures from six out of the eight congressional districts, it'll require signatures to be collected from all eight congressional districts. That'll be the first thing. Two, we're going to look at legislation that's going to increase the threshold for ultimate passage. So right now that's 50+1%. So a bare slim majority can change the Constitution. We're looking at extending that out to 60 or even 65%, so that you really have a coalition that represents the values of the state of Missouri. I mean, right now under our current law, you know, we can have some of the starkest contrasts in our political spectrum enforce their view on the other. So whether that's an urban versus rural split, whether that's a Republican versus Democrat split,
right?
You can have relatively fractured consensus and still be able to change our Constitution. So I expect that to come up. I think it's something that's been percolating for the past 3 or 4 years. I think this is the year we're finally going to get it done.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All right. You know what I'm going to ask next, because I ask you this every time I get you on here. So, and I've only got about a minute left, but given the budget damage we've seen from COVID this year, is there any attempt to roll back personal property tax dead in the water this year? Are you still working on it?
No, we're absolutely still working on it. That's going to be one of my first bills that I file again this year. We had a really good discussion on that last year. We got to the Senate floor last year, which is further than it's ever gotten as far as a cut to our personal property taxes. Now, and keep in mind that personal property tax, it doesn't have this, none of that revenue is going to the state. So it's kind of decoupled from the state budget conversation.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
So, but we're still in a minority of states that even have this tax. And we're still have one of the highest rates of assessment anywhere in the country for personal property tax. So I detected a lot of consensus on the Senate floor last year that there's a willingness to get something done.
Good.
I think the question will become, can we get rid of all of it in a single bill? And how many years does it take to get rid of whatever percentage we can negotiate?
I tell you what, you get that done, I'm all in on Igel for president, all right?
I got too much gray hair for that, Mark. I don't know. That's not going to work out.
Senator Bill Igel, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great Friday and weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
That is Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan there in full denial that he had anything to do with all of the rotten corruption at the top of the Illinois state government. Just so you know, he heard nothing, he saw nothing.
Well,
wow.
I mean, if that's what he says.
I'm listening to Brian's story on that earlier, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. Dude, J.B. Pritzker and nobody less than Senator Dick Durbin have called for you to step aside.
Yeah.
That's the grasp of a dying politician.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. I was not indicted. I did not know what was going on. I'm not stepping down. Oh, boy.
Right,
I'm telling you, I'm sure Annie Fry's going to have a ball with that today. Hey, speaking of Illinois, do you see what's going on over in Madison County? You know, what have we come to as a country when we can't thank our first responders without being accused of all sorts of things, including racism? It's an amazing thing to me. I'm doing a first responder Thanksgiving, right? And the entire month of November on this show, we're dedicating it to recognizing firefighters and police officers all over the two-state area who go out there and put it on the line for us. We should all be thankful for that. That's not controversial. But apparently it is in Madison County, where they've had to back away from a resolution in support of police officers in the county. I've asked County Board Member Donald Moore, who's a Republican, to join us this morning to talk more about this. Mr. Moore, welcome into the show.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Great to have you here. You know, I saw this headline here in the Post, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You had protests in the parking lot with people claiming that this somehow flew in the face of Black Lives Matter, and the words were never mentioned, just because you had a resolution supporting your police. Tell me how this came about.
Well, Mark, originally I got the thought to put something like this together about 4 months ago when a fellow board member made a statement during one of our board meetings that there was systemic racism in police departments across this country. That really rubbed me the wrong way, and I thought, I'm not going to let it stand. I'm going to make a statement to let people know that we do, in fact, appreciate the good work that police do. So I put together this resolution. And for the past couple months, I've tried to get it before the board. Finally did make it this past board meeting, and only to discover the night before that the resolution was going to be sent back to committee, which where it had already been approved unanimously by a bipartisan committee. When it became to the board, though, it was decided to send it back and not to basically have members of the board put their name on the line and say they voted for or against this resolution.
So is it going to ever get a vote?
I highly doubt it, as I mentioned.
Are you still there? Sorry. Mr. Moore, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry, you cut out on me there. Go ahead. You were starting to say whether or not you think this will ever get a vote.
I do not think it will. I think it's going back to committee to die. And what this does is just doesn't put other board members put their name on whether or not they approve of the Blue Lives or disapprove of Blue Lives.
Thank you. I want to read the resolution just so people know what this offensive document said. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, declares their support for all police officers that protect our families, our friends, our neighbors against those groups that endanger us all by spreading chaos, encouraging civil unrest, and destroying our communities in an effort to weaken our democracy. Did I read the resolution correctly?
Yes, sir. That's what it said.
That's it.
I must say that whenever this effort was I set it out there and went before public safety, so then the word was out. And then it seems like there's a group of people that are in support of Black Lives. They were very much opposed to this resolution. In essence, what it is, they could not stand the fact that we were saying that we support Blue Lives. It's just the pressure they put on myself and other board members not to go forward with this was pretty strong, I must admit. A lot of members felt compelled then to not to step up and say that they agree with this out of fear, out of being bullied by this organization that supports Black Lives, I think they felt that the board members would be, the Black Lives group would come after them and see that they weren't reelected or just give them a hard time or come out and just call them racist for this. Because I was called racist many times for trying to say this. And that wasn't my intent. I was not trying to inflame the situation. In fact, what you read and what I was going to read a revised form the night of the board meeting this past Wednesday. And I took out the words Blue Lives Matter and changed it to law enforcement officers. I took out the wording about endanger us all, spreading chaos, encouraging civil unrest. I removed all that words. I removed the words anarchist from it because I do believe there are anarchists out there that try to incite violence against our police officers. I removed all that wording in a way to try to get more people in that could agree with this and be willing to support this. But still, it wasn't enough. As much as I removed and tried to tone down the resolution, which was against my instinct to do, I still did it because I represent a group of people. I was trying to make it more amenable. However, it was never enough. And even though I did what I did in the wording, it still wasn't enough, and there was still opposition to ever this resolution ever seeing the light of day.
Yeah, you represent freedom-loving Americans, and it's a shame that you got that kind of pushback. Donald Moore, listen, I appreciate your time this morning, and thank you for explaining this to us.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet. Glad to get him on the phone there. And, you know, can you believe that? Madison County board member Donald Moore got called a racist, got threatened because he put out a resolution that didn't say Blue Lives Matter. It just declared support for police officers and that they appreciate the fact that they protect our community against people who want to spread chaos, encourage civil unrest, and destroy our communities. Who supports spreading chaos, encouraging civil unrest, and destroying our communities? Maybe we have our answer. I'm just saying, because we know who's been out there fighting against that resolution. Just makes you wonder. When people tell you who they are, you got to believe it. Quick break here. We'll get to our first responder spotlight. Next hour, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, the attorney, is going to join us. She helped file the suit against St. Louis County by those 40 restaurants. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is your first responder spotlight.
Shout out to my friend Chief Doug Schaefler and the fine men and women of the Baldwin Police Department this morning. We appreciate all that you do. Keep up the great work out there in the city of Baldwin. All this month, we are honoring police, firefighters, and EMTs. We're raising awareness. It's just a thank you. That's what it is. But here's how you can support them. Just the other day, talked to Ron Battelle, the head of Backstoppers. This is one of the, you think it's a trying year for you? It's a trying year for them. They're spending $2 million a year supporting the families of fallen firefighters and police officers. So 2020 has impacted their fundraising. There's no doubt about that. You can donate today at backstoppers.org. Just go on there. You can donate to the general fund. You can donate to the educational fund that helps pay for the education for the children of these first responders who've fallen in the line of duty. So it's a great organization. If you want to show your support for our local police and firefighters, go to backstoppers.org. Learn more at 971talk.com/first responders. How about that? There you have it.
There you are. There
fired up.
It.
It's Friday. We're ready to roll.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
What do you got going on this weekend?
Deer hunting.
Oh, that's right.
I am going to go deer hunting again.
That's right.
Going to be hunting for Bambi's father. I haven't seen him yet, but I think he's out there somewhere.
I saw Bambi's father in my yard, actually, yesterday or the day before. Thought about you.
Let me tell you when my heart jumped into my throat the other day. So I'm driving that Cadillac from Bomarito. They let me drive. And it had been sitting in my driveway to gotten dirty. And I took it and I got it washed. And I put some gas in it because they were coming to pick it up. And I'm driving back up this road near my house. And I see some people walking on my right. And then the next thing I see is a flash of brown. Ooh. And a deer bounded right across the road in front of me. I mean, I probably missed it by 4 or 5 feet.
In the brand new ride.
Yes.
Oh, ride. That wasn't yours.
Can I tell you how much I would have hated to have to make that phone call to my friends at Bomarito and say, hey, you know that nice car you loaned me to drive and just try out for a week? Guess what? There's a 10-point buck in the back seat now because it came through the windshield.
Yeah.
I am much more likely to see a 10-point, but there's one that lives in my neighborhood, too. We see it all the time.
They're big
jerks. It's like
it's
taunting me.
Yeah.
In fact, as I'm leaving in the morning, I'll often see deer in my neighborhood. Sometimes you can stop and roll the window down and talk to them. But if I'm in the woods, not only are you supposed to be completely silent, but supposedly they can smell you. How can that be? What is the difference between these deer? 314-241-9797. Get to your phone calls. Mary Elizabeth Coleman coming up with more on that lawsuit filed by local restaurants.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.